The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Grammy-winning Nashville rocker Mike Ferris got personal on his last record, Silver and Stone, on Compass Records. The title referred to his wife Julie's wedding ring, and the album is a celebration of their 25-plus years of marriage and her support in sticking by him through his years struggling with addiction and alcoholism. Now sober for many years, Ferris has the energy and conviction of a man saved, a stack of anecdotes, and a life experience that would make most people's heads spin, and a soulful vocal delivery reminiscent of Sam Cooke or Otis Redding. Last month, Mike Ferris released his soulful rendition of the driving and crying classic Honeysuckle Blue for the upcoming album Let's Go Dancing, a celebration of Kevin Kinney on Tasty Goody Records. This Tennessee-born rocker is known for his soul singing and his major label band, the Screamin' Cheetah Wheelies, but what you might not know is that he's a lifelong fan of the Atlanta Braves, and he's coming to Mableton, Georgia on October 7th for a special Triumph in Life concert. So we're honored to talk with the one and only Mike Ferris. Welcome to Braves Country.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Host. Hey, it was great to see you at the Screamin' Cheetah Wheelies Wheelie Fest at the Caverns earlier this summer, man. And then we talked the other day, and you were somewhere in Europe traveling to London. And where are you today, man?
I'm in Oslo right now, and our last day in Norway, and then we head to Paris tomorrow.
Oslo, Norway. I've been there a few times. Are you doing Rockefellers?
No, I did one of the largest festivals in Europe is in a town called Newtoden. It's a Newtoden Blues Festival, and we just finished that. So we had a couple of days we wanted to spend here in Oslo, and so we're just here hanging out, and then my wife and nephew get to Paris. They're going to meet us up over there, and we're going to have some family time.
Awesome. That's great. Where's the show in Paris? Are you going to do a show in Paris as well? Or
no, we're in Paris for a few days and hanging out, and then for about 4 days, and then we go to the south of France, to Nice, and hang out for a week or two or something. I don't even know how long we're going to be there.
That's when you know life is good, when you don't even know how long you're going to be in France. You're just like, we're going to all the hotspots, we're going to be there until we ain't.
Something like that.
I love it. Hey, man, it's a pleasure to talk to you, especially as a fellow Braves fan.
I'm a lifelong Braves fan. When my mom and dad divorced, I was about 11 years old, and we moved to town. We were living in the country, deep in the country, very solitary world. Then we moved into town, big city of Winchester, Tennessee. And the house we moved into, it had, you know, we were looking in the living room, and it had a big imprint where the TV, furniture, entertainment thing was, and it left a big imprint, whoever was there before. Obviously, that's where the TV went. And then where that was in the wall, there was a cable coming out of the wall. And we were like, what is that?
A direct portal.
This is way back. And we were like, well, let's plug it into the TV and see what happens. And we had cable. It was still on. The cable was still on for some reason. And so we instantly had TBS. And so I watched Braves every single day.
Heck yeah.
The days I wasn't watching the Braves, I was watching WGN out of Chicago. I was watching the Cubs play. But for some reason, I mean, maybe, but you know, I don't know. I was drawn to the Braves were my team, you know, and I was, I don't know, 11. Those were my guys, man. And that was back with, back in the days of Gene Garber and
yeah.
Phil Niekro and Dale Murphy. It was an awful time, but it was a good time.
Man,
a Braves fan.
I'm equally as interested in where the country was before you moved to town and got cable. Where were y'all living there? Because I'm kind of from the country myself.
Well, we were down in Franklin County, down where I'm from, right on the Alabama border of Tennessee and Alabama.
Okay.
If you've been across Suwannee Mountain, Mont Eagle Mountain, that's part of Franklin County.
Many times. I'm from Dalton, Georgia.
So you know the country.
Shoot, yeah, boy, I do. I'm telling you. And growing up the same way as you did, when Daddy had the TV on, it was on the Braves. And if he had the radio on, it was on the Braves. And we grew up with the same favorite players, Rick Mahler and
Glenn Hubbard
and goodness gracious, and Rafael Ramirez.
Hubbard, golly, yeah, man. There's so much of that I've forgotten, man. But, yeah, Hubbard was second base, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah. He gave short people like us hope, Mike Ferris. And then you had Bruce Benedict, of
behind
course,
the plate.
You know, I loved it. Those were my guys.
Great.
Yeah, you know, but for me, I like the Cubs during the daytime too. You get home from school, you watch the Cubs and Andre Dawson, and then at night you get ready for your Bravos, of course. So.
But see, that I was not like that. I would flip over to WGN just to be mad that they were copying the Braves because they're on all the channels. And I was like, that's what the Braves do. Y'all don't get to do that.
Well, I looked at it like scouting. I was like scouting
smart.
The other teams. Over
there. I was too busy marking my territory. But what about other sports, man? Like, I'm a huge college football fan. I know Scott Munn's a huge college football fan. As we talked to Mike Ferris, you can visit his website, MikeFerrisMusic.com. Are you a college football fan at all? And if you are, let me guess, it's probably the Tennessee Volunteers.
Well, you know what? I am a college football fan. I'm way more a pro football fan.
Okay.
And years ago, I've always been pro ever since I was little bitty. And ever since, by the time I could stand up, I was a Cowboys fan. Because in Tennessee, we didn't have a team, and the Cowboys were on every week, and they were America's team, I guess. None of that rang for me, but I was a fan of Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett and Too Tall Jones and all those guys, and Randy White and all those guys. So I was just a huge Cowboys fan. And then I grew up, and then in my 20s, I was in New York City and met my future wife, Julie. And turns out she was an even bigger Cowboys fan than me. So that sealed the deal for me. I was like, this is the one. And we're celebrating 30 years this year. And we go to Cowboys games and every year and cheer them on. You know, being a Cowboys fan is the we deserve more respect than we don't get it, but we deserve more respect than any other fans because every year we're told and we are that this is the year and everything's gonna and every year it's like we're not even close to it.
It's funny, man, because a dear friend of mine, a coworker named Carlos Medina, he is from out in Texas and he's a gigantic Cowboys fan, and he says, Mike, this is the year.
Oh yeah. My god,
but he's a sports guy through and through.
But you know what, I'm realistic and I'm looking at the Eagles over there and going, we're done for the next minimum 5 years.
Oh, no.
Well, the Eagles got all our Georgia Bulldogs players.
That's true.
So they might be giving us some heat. And I say us because I'm also a Dallas Cowboys fan, Mike. My grandfather raised me up on Cowboys football, so I know where you're coming from. I even cheered for the Danny White days and all that stuff, so I know where you're coming from. You know what they're saying about it this year is that they got rid of the offensive coordinator, and Dak Prescott is now going to call his own plays from the line, and that's going to solve everything.
God, no nothing way. Nothing going wrong here. There's nothing that can go wrong with this. Foolproof plan.
Yeah. Where did you hear this? This is the most insane thing I've heard.
Yeah, I may have heard it on one of those networks that starts with an E and ends with an N that you're talking about.
That's, you know what that is? That's ratings. That's just trying to get up. Yeah.
Sure, they're just talking.
Everybody in media knows that the value of talking about the Cowboys and keeping them in the news. And so that keeps all the fans stirred up thinking this is going to be our year. This could be, you know. And that's why I say, man, we deserve all the respect, man, because we suffer like no other fan. You know, up until recently, the Dolphins, every year, they just knew they were going to suck, you know, at the Cleveland, you know, Browns. They just always know they're going to suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no chances for them. There's no hope. For us, we always have this false hope, and it's torturous. It's terrible.
As long as you got hope, though, you got something, you know?
Well, in certain respects, but with the Cowboys, it's terrible, man.
Hey, being a Falcons fan,
it's awful.
And I don't watch them much, but my son likes them a whole bunch, and, you know, so we'll watch them here and there and a little bit, and they're always just awful, and they're one that give you a glimmer of hope, too. Like, they ran up to the Super Bowl and won for three quarters of the Super Bowl against the powerhouse Patriots. And then they killed my dog, and they lost.
Man, first half champs, though.
Yeah.
They did, yeah. Three quarters champs. No kidding, my dog died that night. As the whole thing, I always say the Falcons killed my dog.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Mike, I'm not kidding. Our dog went into, like, some convulsions or something, and we had to put him down on Monday after and all that was happening right as the Falcons were losing it in the last probably 3 minutes of the game. Dog goes into convulsions, and we didn't. My wife, who's a Patriots fan, strangely enough, had no idea that her team had beat my team because the dog was dying.
Oh my God!
The Falcons
Talk
killed my dog.
This
is right. The
That's
Falcons
terrible.
Killed my dog.
That's awful.
It is. It's so bad. Awful. So bad.
I'm thinking there's a country song
and
in there somewhere.
And they were manhandling them too.
I know.
Man. For three quarters, they were and let off the gas. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I'll tell you happened.
The whole nation was shocked.
Guys, I'll tell you exactly what happened I was watching that Super Bowl with Kevin Kinney and a friend of ours who will go nameless. And that cat actually said at halftime that he wished that the Patriots would score a couple touchdowns to make it a little more interesting. And we had to throw him out, but he's the guy who jinxed it right there. So it's all his fault, and we won't say his name. But speaking of sports, though, I know you also love NASCAR, and you once sang the national anthem at a NASCAR race. Is that right?
I'm more Formula One guy than I am NASCAR.
That sounds
actually.
Fancy.
Yeah.
All that time over in Europe.
I know, that's a very un-American thing to say, but F1 is more my thing. But NASCAR is cool, too, man. I mean, I never got NASCAR until I went to Watkins Glen and sang the national anthem up there 1 year.
Up in New York.
And that's when I went, oh, okay. And then a few years ago, I don't dislike NASCAR. I'd be lying if I said, you know, I'm a big fan.
Same
of whatever,
here.
But my wife and I have a friend who works with in the Richard Petty world camp, and we were in Charlotte one weekend doing shows, and he hooked us up to run some cars over at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and it was so much fun. It was absolutely crazy fun, man, to go and get on that track and run. It was amazing.
I got to do at Atlanta, and I topped out about 155, 160. What did you get to?
Dude, that's rolling. I don't know how big Atlanta's a big track.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Yeah, This Charlotte Motor Speedway, man, I something about my contacts or something was I'd just gotten them, and man, it was messing with me, man. The speed, and not just speed, because I've driven cars at 130 before. I only got up about 135, but I was like, I can't go any faster because it's making me. You know what? That just dawned on me. I know what it was now. It was I get vertigo.
Oh no!
And that was just as I was starting to kind of experience that, and I didn't know what it was. Yeah, and it was I was getting kind of dizzy. You come around that second turn, and another thing was there's another. Road a track that goes that turns in, and I kept you come around there so fast you're like turn, and it's like no, don't turn there. But I had a friend going 160, man. I don't know how much bigger Atlanta Motor Speedway, but I think it's way bigger than Charlotte maybe. But 160 is a respectable number, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, and it scared the daylights out of me. That's when you because, you know, you see that and you're like, oh, my gosh, I never did it again. Like, I didn't even realize it because it happened so quick. And then I backed that thing way off because I scared myself.
Yeah.
It was no joke.
I love it, man. I love it, man. My wife, she wore me out over running 130, man. She, to this day, wears me out over it.
Yeah, I can hear her now saying, like, you know, I almost got you on the Richard Petty race team, but you couldn't do it, could you, buddy? You almost made the team.
No, man. No, she's a tough cookie, man. She was ripping me. To this day, she rips me.
That's
she was
so
there
funny.
To be ripping me.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Talking to Mike Ferris, and you can check out his music, MikeFerrisMusic.com. From the Screaming Cheetah Wheelies. And I want to ask you about something that Scott Munn sent me. And when he sent it to me, I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to hear this. And sure enough, it was this new single and your cover of Honeysuckle Blue from the upcoming Kevin Kenny tribute album, Let's Go Dancing, a celebration of Kevin Kenny. And your version blew me away. It was like nothing I've ever heard before. And I've heard that song covered 1,000 times by a dozen different artists. And I tell you what, yours was the most unique I think I've ever heard. It was amazing.
Well, thank you for that, man. It was, you know, when you got a song like Honeysuckle Blue, it's easy to reinterpret it, you know, because it's all, you know, the bones are there for it, you know. And you know, for my thing was I didn't just want to just recreate, you know, what they did. You know, I thought, you know, I wanted to dig in and like play off of that the essence of Southernness that's in there, and I wanted to somehow pull that out because it's a very quintessential Southern anthem kind of song. That's kind of where my angle for it was, and it came out to you know turn into this real country soul kind of thing, and it was you know where the guitar there's a signature great signature guitar piece throughout the whole song by a friend of mine's son Yates McKendry, great up and coming, huge talent, and I you know I told him I said I want to do the lick, the big guitar lick that they do. But I just want to imply it, and so that's what he did, and it was killer. So all the bones, the skeleton was there, and we just kind of, you know, played around with it and came up with something pretty cool, you know.
Not just pretty cool. I got to tell you, Mike Ferris, that there's a moment in the life of any American song that becomes kind of a. You know, a classic or an American standard, and it's when someone records it in a different way and it kind of breaks through and kind of circles all the music fans and makes it where it's impossible to not accept that it's an American standard now. And I think you've done it. I think, you know, some other folks have covered the song and kind of played it exactly like Driving and Crying did. But with this new single, Honeysuckle Blue, that you just come out with, your version, man, it's It's the turnkey moment when it's now an American standard, if you ask me. And I think you did a great job on it.
Well, I appreciate that. I really love doing it. I love the way it came out, too. So I'm excited for that song and for the whole project.
Yeah, the whole project. Let's Go Dancing, a celebration of Kevin Kinney. It's basically a really long love letter from Anna Jensen, his wife, now Anna Kinney. You can find out more about it at annajensenart.com. She is attempting to put together 100 songs from Kevin Kinney and Driving and Crying's catalog over 4 LPs. And she's led off with a couple of singles. Go to annajensenart.com to hear them all. And I think we should play this one on the show.
We'll cue it up, and then we'll be right back, and we'll continue our conversation with Mike Ferris. You can check out his music, MikeFerris.com. This is his version of the legendary Driving and Crying song called Honeysuckle Blue on the Braves Radio Network here on the Braves Country Podcast.
Southern wind blowing down around this corner, man. D'Agostino's late last night. I saw a 415 on the road with nothing in his pockets, hands to the sky, nowhere else to go. But can you see it? Oh,
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
I know family is really important to you, and it's super, super important to me. Faith is really important to you, and it's really super important to me. I know you won a Grammy for gospel music, and you know, it's funny, Elvis Presley, when he won his 3 Grammys, all of them were with gospel music.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I mean, that's good company to be in, for sure, but the most important part is the importance and the impact of the music that you create that got you that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got into exploring old black spiritual music through my experiences, my life experiences, and it started when I was in my early 20s, my first trip to Memphis, and was in a record store and came across a Mahalia Jackson record and a Staple Singers record, and I was off and running then. I was just completely enamored and just fell in love with that genre, man, and started exploring it for many, many years. And it was just something that was there for me to inspire me and give me hope. There was something there that was more pure spiritually than anything I'd experienced from anybody ever. And so that's what was drawing me to it. And it was my connection, my conduit to the great healer, you know. So I was on this journey, and eventually, you know, was going through drug addiction and alcohol addiction, and so that was the thing that when I came out of that, it became a much more important thing to me. And once I got to the point to where I thought I could go back into music again safely, we decided to do a record of stuff that, you know, my manager at the time, Rose McGanty, who we lost her in 2007, but right when I was recording this stuff, she suggested to me to record, you know, she's, in her words, record the stuff that you play around the house, you know, the stuff that you love. And I was like, nobody wants to hear that. How are we going to sell records of that? She goes, it doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do. We're going to do what we love to do from now on. And lo and behold, we did it. And within 3 songs being recorded, we got signed to a Christian label, which I didn't know anything about Christian music. And, I was more from the streets, so to speak. But the president, the label president, was adamant about about signing us. He wanted to make sure that, in his words, that we weren't on the sidelines, that we were in the game at least, you know, and had a shot at being heard. And so we became this, not in the Christian world, but we became darlings of the critics, and that record just blew up. We won an Americana Award with it, iTunes, when iTunes was really important back then, in 2007, named it Top 10 Album of the Year, and San Francisco Chronicle named it Album of the Year, and Philadelphia Inquirer named it Album of the Year, and Barnes & Nobles, and all these things. And so suddenly we were a critical success, and we're blowing it up, and I was off running with it, and I continued to explore that music all the way up to 2015 when we won the Grammy for Shine for All the People. So we ended up winning, you know, we're actually the only artist in the world who's won Americana, a Dove Award, and a Grammy.
Wow.
So, and that's a testament to the music too, because the music that we were making was appreciated by a wide spectrum of music lovers, going from the Christian world to the bluegrass world to the rock world even. And so, you know, we would go out, you know, Friday we would play a rock festival, Saturday we'd play a bluegrass festival, and Sunday we would, you know, could play a church, you know. So it was a great, great experience. And I always carry that music with me, no matter what avenues I explore, that's always a part of what I do.
Mike, that it's funny you say that about the whole weekend schedule. It's just finding the good Lord's people where they are.
Well, that's what I mean. That's my thing. You know, I just did an interview with a paper in from South of England for a festival I'm doing here in a few weeks, and they were asking me about church, you know, do I go to church? And I had to be honest with them. So I don't go to church. And she said, well, how do you, you know, I forget what she asked me. I said, well, I am the church. I take the church wherever I go. I don't, you know, I have a group of people, real close friends of mine, and we have church together. And we're always talking about God, you know, and so it's always with us, and we're always there to support each other and love each other and hold each other accountable, and so. But I'm a fierce believer in that the church belongs out in the open amongst its people, and you know, and it's and we don't have to beat people over the head about it. All you have to do is just be you and be as Christ-like as you can, and people respond, and they recognize the light. So that's, you know, that's my take on it.
This is such an interesting subject to Tug and I, because we both have found our path through Jesus, and I just wanted to know, what would you say to listeners out there who are maybe struggling with this, and maybe they're working on their sobriety, or their relationship, or trying to find the light? You know, what would you say to that listener who's maybe scoffing at this conversation?
Well, if they're scoffing at it now, they're not ready, most likely. And if you're have softened enough to it, or if you've been beat down enough, you'll have ears to hear. And nobody could tell me anything, you know, when I was using, and I couldn't imagine a world without it. And I was trying, wanting to get back to God, and I couldn't. And because, you know, the fact of that is that love is not enough to get you clean and sober. Love is not enough to save you. You know, God gives us the tools to work it out, and get through it, you know. And but it's up to us to take those steps, you know. And when you hit bottom, you'll know it. But you're gonna have to. As far as sobriety goes, you can't do it on your own. That's the big thing that people they've been living in these little secret worlds for so long through alcoholism and drugs and whatever that that's one of the things that's hard for them to grasp is that you can't do it on your own, and it's okay to ask for help. And once you do that, you're going to realize that you're never going to be able to live on that island again, and that's a good thing because we're here to support each other. We're here to carry each other's burden. The most beautiful thing that one of the most beautiful things that I know in life is this, is that I can't carry my own burdens. I can't carry those things. Those things turn into physical ailments that can kill you even. The weight of them actually is too heavy for us to physically to carry eventually. But the most profound, beautiful thing to me is although I can't carry my own, I am perfectly capable of carrying yours.
Man, powerful words, powerful statement from Mike Ferris as we sit and talk here on the Braves Country podcast on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. It's such a moving testimony that you just shared, man, and I appreciate you doing it, man. I've been married for 22 years now to my wife, my best friend, and I know your wife is your best friend, and she has been kind of the guide, a little bit of the rock in this whole thing and getting you where, at least helping you get to where you need to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is the most amazing human being I've ever known, and she is the wisest person I've ever known, and she's I really wouldn't be here, man, if it wasn't for her, you know. And it took me having to break down and say I need help, you know. But it was her that helped me with that breakthrough because the last time I got clean, we went through, she was helping wean me off some stuff. And after I kind of got, you know, the water smoothed out a little bit, she came to me one day and she said, look, she said, we're going to do something different this time. And I started getting real nervous. I was like, things are going okay here, right? She was like, no, we're going to do something different. So with that, she goes, well, we're going to get down to the why. All of the whys. Why do you self-destruct? Why do when things start getting going, you want to burn everything to the ground? Why is it you self-implode? You know, why? And this is an ongoing trend, you know. And so I had to go and dig down. There's one thing, getting clean and sober, actually the easiest thing to do, getting down to the nitty gritty and figuring out and working out why I'm like this and why I've been built like this. How did I become this? That's the tough stuff. But as it turns out, when people make that decision to become a better human being, man, God, He rewards us in the most incredible ways because when you choose to work hard to become a better human being, it's great that you're getting better, but it's really not about you. It never was. It's so that you can have the ability to be a proper servant to everybody else. That's the reason you're doing it. And you may not even realize it until way down the road, and you wake up one day and you go, oh, my God, my life, my greatest joy in life is being a servant.
That's right, man. That is the most beautiful thing. Gosh, man, your words are so moving and powerful, and we appreciate you sharing them, man. This is it's one of those special moments, you know, when you hear truth and it rings crystal clear, and we appreciate you for sharing that with us. Mike Ferris is who we're talking about.
Yeah. So yeah, because our God is not a God of confusion. If things around you are confusing, and you can't make heads or tails, and it starts getting wobbly and everything. Well, yeah, but God's got nothing to do with that. Whatever you're involved with, God's not involved with that.
Right.
It's the truth is simple and straightforward, and it's there for everybody to comprehend and understand and grasp.
Yeah, love that message, man. Thank you for sharing it.
You know, another great gospel singer that we all love is the Staples Singers, and of course Mavis Staples. And you got a great song called "When Mavis Sings." And tell us about her and what she meant to you in this whole process. And even though she's still an imperfect human, I got a feeling she was impactful for you.
Yeah, I mean, I quoted her on the album artwork on the liner notes when you open up the CD. There's a quote from her, and she means so much to me. It said, "This joy that I have, it doesn't come from this world," and that's me. You know, that's exactly. I there's so many things about that family, about her dad and her. The songs that they sang, they were, you know, those old spiritual songs that they're full of hope is what they are for me. And they're singing, whether they're singing, you know, Bible stories, songs I call, some songs are Bible stories, you know, and those are, or "I'll Take You There," you know, which became a big pop hit for them. All of them are so, they're so warm and personal, the way Mavis sings them, and it just always gave me the sense of, you know what, you're not alone. You're not alone in what you're going through, and God is always here waiting for me, you know, and no matter what I was going through. So that's what she meant to me. And there's just something powerful about a Black female voice that is so powerful for me. It's because I believe that music was a healing salve to their people in a time of when they were in bondage, and I think that was one of their great gifts. And nobody sings as powerful as those women, man. It's a special thing. They're my greatest inspiration.
And you're taking that power into the future, and we appreciate you keeping that spirit alive. And you really work hard on tour, man. You seem to be on tour all the time. People out there can check out his tour dates at MikeFerrisMusic.com. I know you got the rest of August in Europe and the UK, and then you come back home, and Saturday, October 7th, the Triumph in Life concert here in Mableton, Georgia, right across the street here. And then also, what's going on with the future? You got some new records coming? You recording this year?
I've got a when is this going to be broadcast?
Probably next week.
Okay. I can't give you the details on what's coming up immediately yet, but we've got something coming up later this year, I'll say, and then spring 2024 we'll have a new record out. I've got enough songs for two records, but we'll have the one record out, new record out in the spring, and we'll be back out running the roads.
Buddy, that's southern as it gets right there, running the roads. That's what my mom and daddy always said. They're out running the roads.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times that didn't mean a good thing, too.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. Yes. that could go either way.
What it does nowadays is run the road.
I know. That could go either way. While you're out running the roads in a good way, when you're in town or in the Southeast, because so many Braves fans across Southeast, where are you going to stop to get something good to eat? Is there a particular place that you stop in Atlanta? Is there a particular place you stop in Nashville or Birmingham or some place that you go that some of our listeners might be able to hit up to?
Okay, so in Atlanta, I'm having to go to Papacito's that y'all have up on, it's just north of town.
Buford Highway, maybe.
Well, I was thinking of the one up 75.
It's off of Delk Road, I think.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Up 75, yeah.
a Papacito's, and there's a Papado there. It's the only one that I know of this side of the Mississippi, outside of Texas. And that is just crazy good. And there's one outside of Cowboy Stadium that we hang out before the games and go to. There's another place that I go to off Delk Road. It's called Traditional Sabor do Brasil.
Mm. Right. And nailed
it. Good. It's a traditional kind of cafeteria style. You go down the line and get all your food, and it is crazy good. And I've been going there for 15 years every time I'm in town. There's some other – I'm trying to think some other places in Atlanta I go to. I've got a whole list of, like, all the foods from all over the world, man. Every time we're in some other town, I'm making notes on what to eat, because – once I stopped doing drugs and drinking, I started eating my way through every city. So,
what's your favorite thing to eat? Pardon me. What's your favorite thing to eat?
I love traditional foods, whether it be from any part of the world. I love, you know, like Southern cooking. I love Caribbean food, Cuban food, Puerto Rican food is a huge
me
one
too.
For me. Tex-Mex is big. Indian food. Middle Eastern food is a big one for us. All the indigenous foods from regions is what we tend to go to, with the exception of the UK. We kind of stray away from the traditional foods there.
Yeah. I got to tell you, from touring over there, there's nothing good to eat in the UK, buddy. There's one shepherd's pie.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But I'm actually a fan of some of their stuff, like their meat pies, their savory pies are crazy good. I love those things.
And you got to have fish and chips every other day. You got to have fish and chips.
Yep, I do some fish and chips, and they got the best Indian food and Turkish food and Middle Eastern food over there, man. You can find it's just great.
Well, Mike, where's the best Southern cooking restaurant in the Southeast? Where do you go when you got to get that meat and three or that soul food? What comes to mind?
Okay, so Miami is where you're going to go for the Cuban food. That's soul food to me, but like if you're in Lafayette, Louisiana, is one of the greatest food towns in the world for me. That
really?
Is just so good. Everything down there, but the fried pork chops, boudin, everything they got to offer down there is so good. It's very Southern. You got to have barbecue. You got to have Texas barbecue when I'm down there. Tex-Mex. When I'm in Tennessee, I want cabbage and cornbread and pinto beans and chicken and dumplings and fried pork chops and fried everything, man. Fried squash, everything. And then I want a fish fry, and then I want a crawfish boil. I want all everything. I'm over here in Norway, and these people absolutely are enamored with Southern culture.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is everywhere we go, from Spain, everywhere. People, when they want to talk about America, they want to talk about the American South, man. They love our music, they love our culture. What's not to love?
Amen. You're preaching to the choir now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking last night, man. We were having dinner at one of our Norwegian friends' house, and he's got a $4,000 bar smoker. He's got what he calls his smoke shack, and he's made it up to look like Texas and Tennessee, man. It's crazy. and they want to pick my brain over hush puppies, how we fry fish, how we do this, how we do that. And they're like, how do you make cornbread? And I'm like, well, you got to have cornmeal. You have cornmeal here? No, we don't have cornmeal. So you got any buttermilk? No, we don't get buttermilk here. I'm like, well, you don't have to make buttermilk, and I will send you some cornmeal.
Wow. Son, y'all out of luck.
Yeah. And so, you know, they are enamored with it, man. But our food is just so good, man. I mean, when you think about it, it's like we got some of the best food on the planet.
Yes, sir.
Man. And so, I'm as you can tell, I'm a proud, proud Southern.
Yes, sir.
American by birth and Southern by the grace of God.
That's it, man. But I'm also, it's also really, really special, man, when you, when you're so far away from home and see how people are so in love with your culture, man. It's really great.
Mike Ferris, spreading gospel music and Southern food all over the world, and we love that. We love you for
yes,
it, man.
Sir.
And one thing I wanted to, before we go, you know, I noticed a kind of a similarity or a yin and yang thing going on with, you know, your last record, Silver and Stone, of course, was kind of a love letter to your wife, Julie. And then now we, your new single, Honeysuckle Blue, is on this love letter record from Anna Kinney, or Anna Jensen, to Kevin Kinney. And I just wanted to play a song from your record, Silver and Stone, if Tug agrees.
Let's do it.
To close the show, I wanted to play the song Moving Me. And it's a really great song. And you got Joe Bonamassa playing guitar on it. He's got a great solo on it. Tell us about Joe Bonamassa and how he became a fan and friend. And set this song up for us, if you will. Tell us about Moving Me.
Moving Me was another one that was written about Julie. You know, she became the muse for that record. I think I had Moving Me before I started working on the record, maybe, I think. And it was just a matter of waiting on the right time to put it on a record. And but it's really just, again, about how she has been my... She's been my conduit to God for so many years, man, and she's been my rock, you know, and just the love affair we've had for over the years, it's just been amazing. And so Moving Me was just another one of those songs that was just inspired by her sheer beauty and inside and out. And then when we recorded it, I had just recorded a song Joe had asked me to come over and sing on a record that he was producing for Reese Winans, who was with Double Trouble, C. Ray Vaughan's band, and who I was a bandmate of with Double Trouble back in the early 2000s. And so Reese wanted me to sing on that record, and Joe wanted me to sing on it. And so we were working on both those records at the same time. And so I was like, so why don't you come over tomorrow and cut a solo on this one too? And so he returned the favor and played on Moving Me for me. And our relationship, mine and Joe's, goes back to the 1990s when he was a kid, and he would knock on the door. First time I met him, he was knocking on my tour bus door in New York at Wetlands, at one of the famous venues all the jam bands used to play. And this, you know, this kid's, I opened the door and he's down here at the bottom on the street. He goes, "Hey man, I'm wondering if you guys would you guys mind letting me sit in tonight?" And I was like, "Come up here a minute, man." And he had these shoes on. He had these, I forget what they call it. They're like a two-tone kind of patent leather shoes, you know. And I was like, "I don't know, man." I said, if shoes like that, man, if you ain't bringing the heat with them shoes, man, you ain't going, you're in big trouble. And so we put him on stage, man, and we were filming a DVD that night, man, and he killed it.
Wow. Okay. It doesn't always happen like that.
No. I had him come in for sound check, and he came in and he just killed it, man. I was like, "Okay, man, look, let's just go ahead and do this," and it was great. It was great. So we've been friends ever since, man.
That's so cool. Well, let's first say thank you so much for being on the show, and the next time that you're through town, we'd love to have you, invite you into the studio, maybe bring a guitar and pick a couple songs out and just hang with us. And heck, if there's a Braves game, we'll see if we can't get to it.
Go to a Braves game, man. I used to, every time I would come into town, I would, if Braves were playing, we had a day off, I would go get a ticket, walk down there or taxi over and go in there all by myself, man, just sit and watch a game, man, and what at afternoon. And it was just so beautiful, man, just to walk. I mean, I think you get a ticket, you know, like a just a GA ticket for like $10 back then.
Yeah.
You know, and then for $10 or $12, and you just go sit where you wanted to, you know.
Yeah, you got a couple buddies that'll go to the game with you now. You don't have to go by yourself anymore, Mike. Tug and I'll go with you, man.
Yeah.
Shoot, yeah, man, we'll go. We'll talk about being Southern and watching the Braves, which ain't nothing more Southern than watching the Braves in and of itself. So, heck yeah, man, it'll be a fun time. So we're going to close out the show by saying thank you for being with us. And here is the song that Scott wanted to play called "Moving Me," and it is by Mike Farris. You can find more about Mike Farris at Mike Farris, F-A-R-R-I-S, MikeFarrisMusic.com. Mike, please join us again one day soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All the best, man. Safe travels.
Appreciate it, boys.
Hey, man, go Cowboys and go Braves.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
All right, see you, pal.
God bless you.
Just beyond city street lights, just beyond your darkest seas, just beyond my wildest dreams, I found you waiting just for me. What more could I ask for? If only I could have one thing more. You just keep on, keep on. Take long, don't say maybe, baby, 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 my sweet baby. Keep on like you do. Ooh, ooh, keep on, keep on, yeah, 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 yeah. And you've taken me to your most sacred places. Show me where you hide your dreams. And we took a ride to where the sky meets your feet. And you gave me wings and set me free, Lord. If only I could have one thing more. Just keep on, keep on moving me, baby. Don't take long, don't say maybe. Baby, 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 my sweet baby. Oh,
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.